Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
God bless you all. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you would join us. We know that definitely there's a word from the Lord for you today, and we're happy that and excited that God would use us to spread this gospel. Do you know that there are so many people around the world right this current moment who wish that they had the ability to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here we are able to not only preach the gospel and share the gospel, but there is no repercussion for saying the name of Jesus. And yet and still, so many of us take it so lightly that that is available to us. We don't utilize and we don't try to take advantage of that, if you will. But this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's my duty and my purpose to celebrate Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And we're so happy about that opportunity. Now, before I go any further, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Prophetess Crystal McQueen so that she may lead us in our morning announcement and also give us our prayer today. Prophetess?
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our show, Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. This morning's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself. On Thursday nights at 7 p.m., join us, me, for Prophetic Atmosphere. You can hear every broadcast live at www.ctkr.org. We also pray that you will become a vision partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. If any of you would like information concerning our church, you want prayer, or you just want us to come and minister, amen, we do ask that as you go to our website that you would click on the contact page, amen, follow the instructions, and someone will touch bases with you within 12 to 24 hours. We also have a Facebook page. Please go to our Facebook page and like us there, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, as well as Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD. We would love to hear from you. Those are our announcements this morning. Come on and let us pray and then get right into the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, we bless you. We thank you, we glorify you, and we praise you. There's no one else like you. This day that you have made, we are rejoicing and we are glad in it. Father, we thank you for calling our names this morning so that we may see this day. Even now, God, as we come, we bow our hearts before you. We lift up our hands before you as well, ready to receive the word that you have for our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we ask that you would wash us from all sins, cleanse us from all iniquity, forgive us, God, as we forgive others. Make us right, make us whole in you. Father, we ask even now that you would put in us a spirit of obedience. Put another yes, Lord, down in our souls. Let it come out of our being so that we can fulfill the kingdom assignment that you have on our lives. God, we thank you for every prayer warrior and every prayer intercessor. God, we thank you for every man and woman of God that is standing upright in righteousness, preaching the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. God, we ask that you would just strengthen every leader that you have called and ordained, that they will make positive decisions, that they will make godly, righteous decisions. Surround them, God, with people that will give them wise counsel in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, we bind the hand of the enemy. We rebuke him from the north, south, east, and the west, that your will shall be fulfilled in the earth. We bless you, we praise you, and we glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
And amen, and amen. Today, thank you for that awesome prayer. Amen. Today we are looking at continuing something that the Lord has laid on our heart. And I thank God for the leading of the Holy Spirit. Prophetess was led by the Spirit to go back and review some of the words that the Lord had spoken to us and at the very beginning of the year. And in doing so, being obedient to the Spirit of God. Amen. Myself, I went back and began to look and study some of that. And what the Holy Spirit spoke to me is that we are bound by our speech. You are what you speak. And I think that I really do believe that there's so many people right now who are dealing with things in their lives that is hard and hardships because they have spoken a word that the enemy legalistically took, amen, and began to use against them. And we can cry out as much as we want, amen, but until you learn how to change your perception, amen, your speech remains the same. And the enemy doesn't care about what you meant by what you said. He just goes by what you said, and he applies his interpretation to it. So if you want a better life and a better outcome, then you have to learn how to say better words for a better tomorrow. Amen? Mm-hmm. So you got to speak better today concerning your better tomorrow. Amen?
Amen.
So we were in, if you will, Proverbs 18 and 20. Amen. And it says, reading from the New King James Version, a man's stomach shall be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth, and from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. 21st verse, popular one that we all know. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Amen. Yeah. I'm just going to read the next one because, well, I like this one. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and attains favor from God. Thank you, baby. Thank you, baby. Okay, now that was a side note. I just had to throw that in because, well, it's there, and it is the word of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Now, but let's look at this. One of the main things that we have to understand is that our speech is one of the foundational things to us. And many people don't think anything about just flying off at the mouth and saying some or whatever. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. If you ask them, why did you say that? It's like, I don't care. You know, this is how I feel.
True, true.
And that's where we get into trouble, because if the enemy of your soul can get you simply to go off of your feelings will change. Amen.
Uh-huh.
You know, how I feel today about a situation may be different tomorrow when I wake up. Maybe the reason I feel like that about the situation today is because I'm a little tired. But when I wake up refreshed after I slept on it, my perspective and thoughts will have changed concerning that same situation. So we can't go off of feelings. Amen. Because your feelings will sway. Amen. And a lot of times what the enemy likes to do is he likes to get us in there so that we begin to talk about our feelings. Notice one of the main things that we see on talk TV is people coming and airing their dirty laundry on TV or dealing with their preconceived notions or prejudices or what have you. They're doing that all over the television. Amen. Mm-hmm. Why are they doing it all over the television? It's because this is what I feel. And I want everyone else to feel what I feel. I deal with some courses, and it deals with digital media production and digital television. And part of what we do in our field projects and in our studio projects is that we want to come up with storyboards and come up with treatments and those things that will cause a response in your emotions. Yeah. That was a moving story. Oh, that was such a moving scene. Well, listen, the only thing that we're moving by perception is how you feel concerning a thing. Amen? So now, if as we're doing that, what we're doing is we are conditioning you to a response. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, the devil likes to condition you to a response.
The devil likes to condition you to a response.
Oh, yes, he does. He likes to condition you to a response. Because he knows that if he can condition you to a response, then he can get you to move. Huh? He can set up the direction you're going to move. You understand?
Right.
Huh? So the enemy then is trying his best to get you to focus on something so he can sway you the direction he wants you to go.
Right.
Prophetess and I were sitting back and we were looking through some things, and those of you who are listening to our broadcast know that one of the things that the Lord has tasked me with is really going in and learning about some of these false religions that are or these false theologies that are out, such as ultra grace or hyper grace, where we take away the need for you to live a holy, a righteous life, because God in his ultimate grace will not charge it to you in the long run. There are so many other things. Prosperity theology. The more that you opulent lifestyle you live, the more holy you are. And God's pleased with you when you can show that you have the wealth of the world at your hands. And all of these are false. You show me an apostle that was rich. There isn't one. Okay? Those that we look at, Paul, John, James, Peter, they didn't have. When we go into Second Corinthians, the 8th chapter, we see where the church of Macedonia, the one that everyone likes to take in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and talk about, you know, how giving, you know, is so powerful, but they don't talk about who was giving or how they could give. Amen?
Amen.
So what they did was they took the latter part talking about giving and didn't tell you about who was giving and what their condition was. Because obviously the church of Macedonia was a poor church but rich in grace. So I take the word rich, wherever you see it, and apply it to material wealth.
Mm-hmm.
But notice in the text it says in grace, which means this is spiritual wealth. Amen?
Amen.
So it is those misconceptions that they have built up a lot of this stuff. and taking things out of context. Now, does that mean that you should not give and sow into the ministry and support your local ministry? No, it does not. It means that you need to do what God has called you to do. The lesson there was they had a desire to support the church. And even in their poverty, they had a desire to give. That's what the 8th chapter tells us. Mm-hmm. And Paul said, let me send somebody quickly to prepare you. I'm trying to prepare you before they come so that I will not be embarrassed upon them coming and you don't have it. You need to read that whole passage. This isn't they got so much that they're going to set it aside and give it because their heart was in the right place, but their means may not have been. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So as we look at that, we see a lot of these false theologies that are being propagated. One that is you saw yesterday was
the false gospel of Nice.
The false gospel of Nice. Amen. I'm going to look into that. But instead of dealing with being biblically correct in what the Bible says, mm-hmm. they want to be socially accurate.
Correct.
See, we gotta start going back and teaching this gospel. We've splintered Christianity in so many different things mm-hmm. that it's not Christian anymore.
And if anyone speaks the true word, you consider religious.
Right, and if you speak the gospel, you're just religious and judgmental. No, we're biblically correct. Whatever we're doing, you know, I don't understand how you're trying to, oh, you believe that when you die because you felt that you were a good person, you want to make it into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
See, Hindus and Buddhists believe that the way into nirvana or their form of heaven for the next stage of reincarnation to come back is determined upon what you believe in the life you live, your karma. You know, the Bible doesn't teach us about karma. You know, it teaches us that if we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we have eternal life. And that eternal life is set when we obey, amen, what he called us to do. Mm-hmm. Now, what do I mean by that? God didn't save you just to sit there. Okay, there go one saved. No. Your job is to go out and witness to someone else and bring others into the kingdom of God. See, that's your assignment. Amen? Yeah. You're here because you want to be here. The call went out. You accepted the call. Now, finish the assignment. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. So, anyhow, as we looking at some of these different things, we have lost the ability to decree, declare, and proclaim. We lost the ability to decree, declare, and proclaim. Say that with me, decree.
Decree,
declare,
and proclaim.
Now, there are simple differences to these. Amen. And we have to understand what those differences are, because if you're going to deal with the fact that here in Proverbs 18 and 20. A man's stomach shall be filled from the fruit of his mouth. You need to know what you are decreeing.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know what you are declaring. And you need to know what you are proclaiming. Y'all see that?
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever you decree, declare, or proclaim is what you're going to be satisfied with. And I said it before, if you keep speaking negative and negative keep coming around you, maybe you need to stop speaking negative. We have spoken to different ones who have been going through and different things in their life, and I said, listen, the more that you talk about what you're going through and the problems and pinpointing it and going into it in deep detail, the more that you're magnifying that thing, because every word that is coming out of your mouth is concerning what you're in and what you're going through, which means that you're creating more of what you're in and what you're going through. If you want to come out, you have to do what Jesus did, because he's our example. You notice when they bring some problem to Jesus, Jesus would look at it and then begin to speak resolution. We don't see Jesus talking about, oh, Lazarus is dead. Oh, my friend, he's dead. He's gone. We ain't going to see him no more. He ain't talked like that. When they said, your friend Lazarus is dead, He's like, he ain't dead. Mm-hmm. He's only sleeping. You see that? And it is that quick that we have to learn how to defend our faith. You see that?
I love it.
Because what we do a lot of times is when the problem comes, when your perception of a situation or a circumstance comes, the first thing that you do is talk about what you're seeing. And you need to change your perception so that you can actually speak the resolution at the onset of the problem. Amen?
Amen. Help us, Jesus.
So right now we are conditioned to a response to say what it is that we're seeing out of our mouths. Mm-hmm. So when the enemy comes, he shows you the worst possible scenario of the situation. And out of your mouth, you begin to speak, oh, this is terrible. And all you're doing is you're speaking now in faith what you expect to see. Understand, as I say, you're speaking in faith that your faith works itself out, which means if you're speaking the negative of what you expect to see, your faith produces your expectations.
Oh, true, true, true.
Did y'all catch that?
Mm-hmm.
See, so every time you say, well, I was just saying, that's all the devil needs you to do. All he needs you to do is just say. Huh? When you learn that you don't have to just say, you can actually see something and speak the other instead of what you see. See, the Bible tells us very clearly that we walk by faith and not by sight. So if you're walking by faith and not by sight, then that means regardless of what the enemy tries to bring in your sight or in your view or in your perception, you don't have to go off of that. The first thing that's going to happen is as soon as he brings it to you, you're going to speak in faith concerning what the resolution to what your sight just saw. Y'all see that?
Yep, I do.
See, I'm trying to get you to begin to speak the positive and have your faith extend towards your resolution that will be in your favor. Amen. Y'all hear me say this all the time. Doom, despair, agony on me, deep, dark depression, rancid misery. If it wasn't for bad luck, I have no luck at all. Doom, despair, and agony on me. That's a song we used to hear on a television show, Hee Haw. And after they sang that, then they started trying to outdo each other. I recognize and realize that the reason why some churches have got rid of testimony service was because we forgot and we lost the ability to testify effectively against what the enemy's doing and proclaim what God has done for us. Amen? Let me wait because I got to get down to proclaim first. Amen? But your testimony needs to be there. Amen? Amen. So let's look at this. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, and from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. What are you producing in your speech? Amen? Huh? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Let's look at this in the Amplified Bible. Amen? It says, a man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, mm-hmm. and with the consequences, or with the consequence of his words, he must be satisfied, whether good or evil.
Mm-hmm.
So that means a lot of times when you're speaking out of your mouth, you're speaking something that you feel is accurate based on the current moment. I used the example of walking up to my wife and I hit her on the shoulder and looked at her. And then I said, everybody what just happened. And people say, you just hit your wife. Somebody say, you walked up to her, hit her on the shoulder, and then rolled your eyes at her. I said, okay, now that's what you say happened. Everybody agree with that? They say, yeah. I said, what if I tell you I walked up to my wife, saw a mosquito on her shoulder, and hit the mosquito, and then looked at her with loving eyes because I know that she hates mosquitoes. I said, could you believe that perception? And the thing is that in your mind, truth is perception. You cannot see the reason I hit. You just saw that I hit.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? You saw that I looked, but you don't know what I was looking, what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
See, so in the absence of knowledge, we make up the intention. You see that?
Yep.
We'll make it up. I always say, what you don't know, what people don't know, they'll make up, and they'll make sure it's good enough to hear again.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? So that's how the enemy does it. The enemy knows the truth of it because he saw it coming. But he'll make sure that you turn around and look at the right moment so he can paint the picture of perception that he wants you to have. So where the enemy comes in and says, listen, I know your faith is growing, and you're about to go through something. So let me make sure that you see it this way. You start going through, and as soon as you start going through, he starts showing you a brother or a sister getting blessed. Here you are struggling and trying to make it, and here's your brother and sister talking about, woo! I just hit the spiritual lotto. God is so good to me. Huh? And you sitting there thinking, how come everybody else? You see that? What was those first words? Y'all see that? Those first words are the words that he used to deter you from the blessing that was coming your way. Because if your brother just got blessed, guess what? The rain clouds are coming your way. You're about to get a bountiful blessing too. And what you do is you put your umbrella up. When you begin to speak against what's going on. That's why the Bible tells us to rejoice with him who rejoices. Why? Because as you're rejoicing, you're giving thanks to the Father. And as he's blessing your brother, he'll bless you too. Mm-hmm. You see that? If you never got a blessing for being happy and ecstatic about somebody else, then this is foreign to your understanding. But whenever somebody gets blessed, I shout with those who shout. I praise God with those who praise God. I celebrate with those who celebrate. Because I know my praising God, my celebrating, my shouting is coming right around the corner. Because if God did it for you and you are a child of God, then I'm going to get the same thing because I'm a child of God. Now listen, your blessing may be your health, but maybe I need a financial release. And you thanking God for your help, but then he sent a financial release upon me. And all we did was thank God for what was happening to each other. So that means that you need to get a praise on your lips. You need to get a praise in your mouth. You need to let it loose whenever you look. Instead of turning around and speaking about the negative that you're seeing, allow yourself to celebrate Jesus. Allow yourself to celebrate the Father. Allow yourself to celebrate God in every situation. You don't have time for pity parties. Look at your neighbor and say, I ain't got time for no pity party. Come on, say it again. Because while you having a pity party, all that's coming out of your mouth is what kind of cake you all have to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. 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 Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it for death or life. Amen. So as we're looking at this, amen, God is trying to get us to a place where we speak, amen, concerning what is there. Now you say, listen, Apostle, I hear what you're saying. I hear. But let's go from the Old Testament into the New Testament, because, you know, that was Proverbs. And after Jesus came, we should, you know, some of that stuff in the Old Testament was just covered under the blood. Okay. All right. Listen, let's go into Matthew, the 12th chapter. Amen. 33rd verse, 12 or 33. Mm-hmm. Amen. It says here, either make the tree good and its fruit good, mm-hmm. or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. Mm-hmm. For a tree is known by its
fruit.
Say it with me. A tree is known by its fruit.
A tree is known by its fruit.
Notice what it said in Proverbs. It said it says a man's morals, his mouth, his speaking, whatever he says. You see that? Huh? A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit. You see that? Of his mouth. And here in Matthew 12 and 33, it says, either make the tree good and its fruit good.
Right.
You see that? Or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Huh? Go on to 34 verse. It says, brood of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So now, here we are at an impasse now. Because we have around us people who have poor spiritual sight. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And yet they're your bae. They're your boo.
Yeah.
They're your bestie. They're your homie. Hmm. They're in your sphere of influence. You can't hang around the saints at church, but you can hang around people who have nothing good to say about the people at church.
Oh, that's true.
So how can they celebrate Jesus with you when they don't celebrate Jesus at all?
Hey.
Huh? You see that? So God is trying to get us to really see something here. And one of the main things that we need to be able to perceive and understand is that if you're going to be around evil, evil's going to be around you. Mm-hmm. Don't be mad when what you're doing comes back on you. Amen. But because if that's what you like, that's what you shall have. Hello, somebody. Mm. Root of vipers, how can you be an evil speak good thing? When you notice that God will give a word to the man, the woman of God, and they'll share it with the different people, the membership. And as they're sharing it, somebody comes, ooh, that's crazy. If it was me, I'm just saying, if it had been me, okay, listen, this, if it had been me, don't have spiritual insight into the assignment of your life.
True.
See, that's the reason why when God speaks to you, he speaks to you and gives you directives to those who are there, amen, who have responsibility of your soul. Amen. I wish it would be that I could just go out and do anything and don't worry about nobody. But that's not what God has given me. Amen. You see? So as a man of God, as an apostle, as a pastor, my job is to be here and oversee the souls. Set foundation, tear up the fallow ground. You out of path. Huh? That means that there's some things I have to do. Amen? And in my environment, I can't have those who are always talking crazy against God's plan. Listen, everything that God says to me is not going to be common sense to you.
I need to say that really good.
Everything that God says to me, it's not going to be common sense to you. It is not common sense for us to be stuck in wrapped up in the land and have God tell me to stretch out my hand and then go walk towards the Red Sea because I'm going to make it. That's not common sense. Common sense says, don't you see all that water? We're going to sure enough die. You see that? That's the whole thing that they faced in coming out of Egypt and going through the wilderness. There are things that God told them to do that defied common sense, but it was still God. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that means that there are things that he's telling us today to do that defies your common sense, yet still is God. And you find out after not following after what God said that you miss God. Now you're trying to redeem the time, finding obedience. I wish I had time to go in and deal with that. After the 12 spies went out, 10 of them came back with a negative report, and Caleb and Joshua stood up and said, we're well able to take the land, and they decided not to go. And Moses said, because you have done such thing, God has lifted up his covering from you. They said, oh, we're messed up. Okay, we ready to go now. We're going to get our stuff right now. He said, you can't go over there because God won't be with you.
Get what you're talking
they
about.
Said, but we will go. We will go because we're going to be obedient now. Listen, you can't be obedient when you want to be obedient. You need to be obedient when God calls you.
Yes.
You see that?
Mm-hmm.
They went over there and the slaughter and the defeat was so great. That was the start of the 40 years. Amen. Y'all have to understand. See, you think that because I got common sense. God gave me common sense. Yeah, he gave me common sense. But he commanded you to use your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Common sense says that if I'm over here and Jesus is walking on the water, I don't get out the ship.
Oh, true. That's common sense.
You see, that's common sense, especially from a fisherman who makes his living on the water. He already knows from his experience, this don't work.
Right, yeah.
See, that's why everybody said, I don't know about all that. That's because your faith ain't at that level. Amen, somebody. Huh? So when God speaks to us, we begin to look at what we can do and see how we can affect a positive response concerning what God wants. Get people out of your environment who come against your decrees, your declarations, and your proclamations. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's finish reading now. 35th verse. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. So, now, let me just point something out here. Everybody say treasure.
Treasure.
Say it again. Say treasure.
Treasure.
The thing about treasure is something that is valued. And there are some things that we value that are good. They work towards our development. They mature us. They help us to grow and become better educated in the things of God. But the Bible also says, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. That means that there's some evil things that some people value.
That's very true.
Oh. Huh?
Very true.
See, when you value those things, what you will do is you will place that above what God says.
Mm-hmm.
God will tell you to back away from something or let somebody go or stop doing something. Yeah. And the first thing that you will do is you'll make an excuse for why you should be able to.
Yeah.
I don't feel it so bad. This ain't bothering nobody.
Oh.
You see that? They just don't like me. Why are you in my business? You see that? So if that's where you are and that's what you believe, then whenever God says, listen, I'm going to give you the good of the land, the evil in you causes you to hear the work and not the payoff. You see how it counters? So your faith can't even go towards the good things of God where your treasure increases because the negative treasure that you have negates that. God says, I want you to go over here and talk to these people about this building, and this building I'm going to give to you. It's going to be yours if you simply ask me for it. There's a building that that we have been to and been in and looked at for, saw that it's good, and we said, Lord, this will be a wonderful place. We could do some wonderful ministry here and some teaching and training and some other things, and I shared that, and then we left the building. And we've been watching that building ever since. And this building has gone on the market, off the market, on the market, off the market. It's on the market again. And I'm sitting back praying and asking God, Lord, what's going to happen with this building? If the Lord said, go get the building, at that moment, I know that God is going to work out the particulars of the deal.
Amen.
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 So all we have to do is not look at the building in faith, I mean, in doubt of how we're going to take care of this, but look at it in faith. How is God going to get the glory out of this?
Hallelujah.
And if he says move, at that moment, regardless of what you feel or what you think, shut your mouth and get to stepping. Because if God is in the middle of this, then God already has the outcome of this in place.
Amen.
You see that? So what are some of the good treasures? Because remember, in the 34th verse, it says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is really your treasure? Do you have a good treasure? Or do you have a negative word? Because we're still speaking, or we're still looking at the mouth speaking, the word that proceeds out of your mouth. Amen. Look at it here in the Amplified. Even make the tree sound healthy and good, and its fruit sound healthy and good, or make the tree rotten, diseased and bad, and its fruit rotten, diseased, and bad. For the tree is known and recognized and, listen, judged by its fruit. You see that? Why are you saying it like that? You can't be judging me. Listen, your words judge you. Amen?
Amen.
You see that? When everything that come out of your mouth is anti-whatever God said, don't sit here and tell me there's a blessing on the way because you have negated that simply because you refuse to celebrate God's dominance or his king, the king's dominance or dominion in your life. You can't have what he has for his chosen people when you refuse to do what the chosen does. Amen?
Amen.
So you're known and we recognize you. And your work judges you. And we can tell all of those things by the fruit. 34 verse, you offspring of vipers. How can you speak good things when you are evil, wicked? For out of the fullness, the overflow, the superabundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That means that whatever is inside of you is going to come out. Amen?
Amen.
Superintendent Thurman Jefferson, amen, back up in Ohio, used to sing a song. And I remember when I was sitting on an organ at Pinewood, he would come in and he said, everything in you got to come out. Everything in you got to come out. Everything in you got to come out. If you're going to see the Lord. What he was simply saying is that if hate is in you, he would go through that verse. If lying is in you, it got to come out. But see, the other side of that is when the praise is in you, when glorifying is in you, when faith is in you, it's going to come out too. This Bible lets us know that a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, his faith, his belief, his praise, how all of that, out of all of those things, he brings forth good things. But lying, stealing, cheating, doing all those other things, lack of faith, when you walk away, you become callous and lukewarm. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Why can't I get a blessing? Check what's on the inside of your heart. The heart is the battery inside the mechanism that powers whatever blessing, good or evil, is coming your way. How can a blessing be evil? The devil know how to give you something that he knows is going to be a burden to you to keep you enslaved, not to what God has, but what you have. That means that there are people who ran out of faith trying to get homes and stuff. They knew they didn't have jobs, credit rating, or the ability to get into. Got into the home, couldn't afford the home. The home was taken away from them, and then their credit was worse than it was before. Now they don't qualify for the programs that they could have if they had simply waited on the Lord. Amen? The devil know how to give you something to tear you up. You see that? Because sometimes we feel that if we ain't getting it, that's because, ooh, God just, No. There's a reason why you don't have it, and God will never give you anything that you are not ready for. Amen? I thank God for that. He's not going to give me anything. Y'all need to go to Galatians, the 4th chapter, and read that first verse and those up in there. Huh? When he releases us, we have matured to the point where we can handle it. Amen? Look what it says here. 36 verse. New King James Version. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So now when we go back then over to Proverbs, and we see that in the 21st verse, 18 and 21, we see death and life are in the power of the tongue. Do y'all see now that as you are speaking, you are judging, you are condemning, you are establishing. You see that? Your destiny. Now, as we look at this, let's deal with these definitions because I want you to see these things. Amen?
Excuse me.
The word decree is an official order issued by a legal authority. An official order. And you as an ambassador of the kingdom of God, amen, a kingdom citizen, when you begin to decree things into the heavenlies, then you are issuing out official orders. Huh? And that legal authority part is where we say, in the name of Jesus. So you don't decree anything in your strength. You don't decree anything in your authority. You decree everything in the kingdom authority. And we know that it's the kingdom authority because we have been delegated authority using the name Jesus. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, it's in the name of Jesus.
It's in the name of Jesus.
Say it again. It's in the name of Jesus.
It's in the name of Jesus.
Amen. And if it's in the name of Jesus, that means that regardless of what you see in your own abilities, he is greater than that. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the next thing we have to see is declare. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. This word here is interesting to me. I'm going to tell you why right now. Because the word declare is a verb. Which means it is an action word. The word decree is a noun. Mm-hmm. It is a thing. I decree a thing. Mm-hmm. Okay? But I declare means that I am setting something in motion. Mm-hmm. Y'all see that? Mm-hmm. So when we declare, we're formally announcing the beginning of or the state and condition of something. You see that? Huh? When we say, I declare this thing, uh-huh, or I declare war, what I'm saying is that at this moment, I am beginning war. Mm-hmm. You see that? So when I decree something, I say, listen, I declare a decree upon the enemy that he shall cease and desist. Mm-hmm. That means from this moment, this declaration, from this moment, a decree has been set that ends the work of the enemy. You see that? So it's not necessarily that we're just saying it. It has to have importance. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to decree some things.
I'm going to decree some things.
I'm going to decree some things.
Now, proclamation is something else here. It is a noun. It is a public or official announcement dealing with a matter of great importance.
Okay.
Okay? Or dealing with a great matter. And when we deal with a proclamation, I like this third one, a clear declaration of something. In other words, when we are decreeing, declaring, and proclaiming, and we issue forth a proclamation, what we're saying is we're giving you clarity of a decree. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You see that? So when we begin to speak then, We're actually beginning to set some things in motion with a declaration. A proclamation actually brings clarity to that we have declared.
All right.
Amen. A decree is the official moving, or it is the writ or the script, if you will, of what we are decreeing and declaring. You see that? Mm-hmm. So people see, I decree and I declare. Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. Pick one and do the other with it. I declare this decree. What do you mean by that? The town crier will come into a village holding a writ or a writing. Amen. And when he came in, he began to say, hear ye, hear ye. And he began to read the declaration that by decree of the king, or by decree of whatever the authority is. Y'all see it? Mm-hmm. So he's out making sure that people hear the declaration by decree. You see it? He decrees, no, he declares. Okay. Wait a minute, hold on, let me back up. Guess you got me looking at it. He comes with a proclamation of a declaration that was set by decree. You see it? Hear ye is the proclamation. The declaration is what he's reading, and the authority of it is by decree. You see that? That's why the signature at the bottom is so important on the Declaration of Independence. Because without the signatures, it's just something written, but has no authority to it. Mm-hmm. Now you understand that decree
It's actually the seal of it. Y'all see? It is the authority of it. But a proclamation is the public announcing of it. See, Declaration of Independence was not written out in front of everybody. Mm-mm. It was written behind closed doors. You see this? Trying to get y'all to see this. Amen. It was written behind closed doors by men who came up with the precepts of it. And then after it was ratified and agreed to, then they began to sign their name to make this declaration a decree. Mm-hmm. And then after it was decreed, then it was proclaimed before the people. Y'all see it? Mm-hmm. So now when we get back to this, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. What are you proclaiming that you have declared, that have been decreed in the name of Jesus? If you have not declared anything, mm-hmm. then you can't seal it in with a decree, the authority. And most of the time, what people have is a proclamation of what is in their heart. And because the heart is either good or evil, in this instance, Matthew, the 13th chapter, amen, or the 12th chapter, 33rd verse, amen, we find that they have been decreeing and declaring things that really can't glorify God. So they have been satisfied with negative things. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Your life is filled with misery, pain, sickness. How about we change our speech? Huh? And before we change our speech, let's change our heart to having faith in God. Mm-hmm. So that when I begin to decree and declare, I understand that this proclamation, my testimony that comes out of my mouth, will be a one who loves the Lord. He has blessed me. He has kept me. He has done so much for me. I shall declare the glory of the Lord. Amen. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat its fruit. Now, let's leave dead those things of the past in the flesh. To speak to life or speak life into the things that are part of your tomorrow, your destiny. Amen. Stop trying to breathe life into things that the Holy Spirit has killed off. It is dead to you. He's cut it off. Now you trying to go find it and resuscitate it and rebuild stuff. Those bridges were burned. Leave them burn. You don't need to build a bridge to your past. You've been separated from that. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Lo, all things become new. Listen, maybe in your life you need some of your stuff sealed off from you. You want to become a new creation in Christ. Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus and the pardon of your sins. Pray this prayer with me. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Father, if they prayed that prayer, I thank you for it. But I ask that you would lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible-believing church, where they may be matured and developed and go on to do the work you called them to do. I pray right now, Lord, that you would simply touch those who are under the sound of my voice. Miracles, signs, and wonders are needed. Financial release and peace of mind and healing in their bodies. They need miracles now. A way made, favor to be released upon them. I speak it all right now by declaration. I decree it now. In the name of Jesus, it shall be. Thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll find out more about us. We pray that you become a vision partner with us.
Right now we have those who are asking us to partner with them in Pakistan, in India, as well as those that we work with in Nigeria, Kenya, and Uganda. Amen. And we need your fiscal help, financial help, to do greater work in the kingdom of God. We pray that you'll become a vision partner with us and help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. We love you, and we know that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.